Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Friday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell.
And happy Friday, everybody. What's going on?
Well, it was nice while it lasted. The Red Wings point streak, actually looking like a real hockey team and everything, yep, has officially come to an end.
Yep. Between all the people falling off the Lions bandwagon, the Red Wings bandwagon, there's a lot of people in the ditches.
Oh, there really are. It's quite amazing, and I feel like a lot of them will be running to catch back up with it again not too long from now. But right now, that doesn't look great.
No, considering, I mean, you just lost in overtime to a team that was 1-3-1. You should have had that game. Now, this one, I don't know. The Jets were still the Jets. Connor Hellebuyck still is a Vezina-caliber goalie, and he showed it last night. He really just made some really key saves. But then again, so did James Reimer. He did really, really well. Hellebuyck finishes with a .972 save percentage, making 35 saves on 36 shots. He did exactly what you needed him to.
I mean, he's an elite goaltender. You expect that to an extent.
He really is. And the first two goals that went in the first period, we were all like, okay, yeah, the Wings can come back from this one. But that puck was just like dropped with a bow right in front of the net and fired past Reimer. That's on the defense. That's not on Reimer. That's on the defense.
It absolutely is.
It is what it is. Could have used a little bit more scoring. Lucas Raymond scoring some with Mo Sider getting his 100th NHL point, so good on him.
I know a lot of people are starting to get worried about Raymond. Like, a lot of people were, yeah. I don't know, is Raymond going to be all right here? Like, he'd only, I think, scored one goal so far this season.
Yep. But, I mean, he's still 6 points. He's a plus +4. So he's not, I mean, he's definitely not playing like somebody who was picked sixth overall, but he's definitely not trash.
Not by any means.
No, absolutely not. So, I mean, they're, what, like seven games in?
Yep. I mean,
he's on point for a good 20, 25, 30 goal season. Just hang out. Just chill out, everybody.
I mean, guys go through a slump at times. There's just no way around it. It happens to almost everybody, other than hopefully Alex DeBrincat.
Yeah. He's going to be just fine.
He's going to score 120 goals this season, Adam. It's going to happen.
He's on pace for 120 goals. It's going to be an NHL record. Lucas Raymond, though, he didn't have the best of seasons last year, if I remember correctly. Yet, 17 goals, 28 assists. Not, I guess, not bad. 45 points on the year.
Not terrible numbers by any means.
That's scoring every other game.
But it was certainly a step down from that first year that he was up here.
23-34 for 57 points. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was a step backwards, but like, okay, you could see him easily surmounting that real quick. Right now, though, I believe he is on pace for about 20 goals this year. So, I mean, I guess that's not really too far out of step with what he's done to this point.
Yep. And
unlike in years past, he's not a minus either.
I mean,
so far.
Yeah, he's a plus +4, where last couple, I mean,
playing on line with DeBrincat helps that, though,
yeah,
I feel like.
With DeBrincat and Larkin, maybe, I don't know, I'm not the coach at all. I told them that I wasn't interested in the position. I mean, maybe if you move him down
Chris
to another
Chris
Olsen
was here begging. You should have seen it. It's crazy.
He was like John Cusack and Say Anything with a boombox. but, I mean, there's only one puck, and you've got DeBrincat and Larkin, who those two are, you know, peas and carrots all of a sudden. And, Raymond is kind of off on his own. I mean, there's two schools of thought. Which one do you subscribe to, Sean? Is it, if he stays on that line, then good things are going to happen? Or should he be moved to a different line to where he has more of an opportunity to shine?
No, I think he's just fine on that line. Like, some guys are not necessarily going to be the primary guy who generates the offense, and that's okay. DeBrincat's the guy who's driving things on that line. And Larkin to a lesser extent. So, yeah, of course, it's going to be a consequence of that. But I don't hate the idea of having your three best guys on the line, because it's not like your other lines just aren't producing at all. You don't mess with
true.
The team chemistry if you don't absolutely have to.
I mean, that our third and fourth lines have really been kind of answering the bell. Joe Valeno is doing just fine. I'm at 4 goals, I believe, on the season for Joey Valeno. And they've just been getting things done.
They really have. And you'd hate to mess with that chemistry. You'd hate to really mess with what they've got going. I really would not want to tempt that too much and start playing. I wouldn't want to start playing, you know, line blender again like Blashill used to do. Well, that second line so far has generated 5 goals this season, most of those coming from Andrew Kopp, for whatever it's worth. Do you upset the chemistry there and swap him? I don't know. Also, which one of those guys do you put on the front line, and do you risk disrupting what's going on with Larkin, DeBrincat, and Raymond?
Well, I mean, the idea is to give Raymond more of an opportunity to score, put him on that second line. I believe David Perron is on that line. So you move.
Well, yeah, when he's playing. Yeah, because I don't believe he, because he was not on that line last night.
Oh, he wasn't?
No, he was playing on the third line with Valeno and Sprong.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't do anything with that line.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you leave that line alone. Don't you touch that line, Newsy. I swear to God, don't you touch that line.
So, I mean, maybe you ride this out for a couple more games.
You might have to. Honestly, you really might just have to do that. Like, you're not really given much of another option. I mean, you're not bumping him down to the fourth line with Fisher and Zarnik and Bergeron.
No.
I mean, that'd be quite the insult there. And he's not really the kind of player that fits on like that's your grind line, basically.
Yeah, and they're doing their job. Sharnick, and the others, I can't remember. Fisher and Bergeron.
And Costin, like, he's been in and out of there too.
Yeah. They've been doing their job. They've understood the assignment. So let's maybe keep Lucas Raymond on that first line.
Let it
and
roll.
See what happens. I mean, his plus minus is only going to go up with Cat and Larks.
Exactly. Like, he's the complimentary piece that they need there, I feel.
Cat and Larks, they're cops.
Loose cannon cops who don't play by the rules. Plenty of stuff to do today. It is happy hour. Stick around back after this. It is happy hour. He's Adam Hirahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. We don't exactly have a Lions game to talk about yet because, well, they don't play till Monday night. They're taking on the Raiders. And while I fully expect them to win that game, we have another more pressing issue that we need to talk about in the meantime.
Yeah.
And that is the trade deadline is, like, right around the corner. Like, it's Tuesday. And you'd like to see the Lions do something at the deadline. And honestly, if you don't, I feel that at that point, you're basically saying that you're just fine with winning the NFC North and not doing anything else. And I feel like that's a huge disappointment to a lot of Lions fans if you come out and do that.
Yes.
And I can only assume this team's going to be buyers at the deadline. I can't really see them selling anybody.
No.
I mean, you could see them at least listening on calls for Jameson Williams, but that's about it. Side note there, it does seem like every time anybody in that organization is asked about him, talks about him, you can always hear just an audible sigh, just, all right. So it's never like something really positive, like, yeah, he's going out there and he's giving it all this effort and work and he's doing great things in practice. It's just, we need more time to get him on the same page as everybody else. It's amazing when you hear that they don't have that to say about guys like Amon-Ra or even Sam Laporta, who is a first-year player.
Yes.
Or Josh Reynolds or anybody else, but
isn't this the cat that got suspended for gambling?
Yes. Yes, it is. And missed most of his first season with a torn ACL and really just doesn't feel like he's justifying that number 12 draft pick. And is it fair to him that he got drafted that high and is therefore going to have to accept all of the pressure and expectation of being drafted that high? No. But is that how it works? Absolutely. And at this point, I'm not ready to bust out the B word with regards to JMO. I'm not there yet. I'm not willing to declare that man as a bust.
I love how he's like, I'm not going to bust out the B word. You just did.
Well, thanks for calling me out on it. Appreciate you, bud. But I'm not willing to say that about him yet, to label him as such. But something's got to change real quick, and he's got to get turned around, because you're not going to find yourself in a position to be able to force the amount of targets in real game action that you need for him to develop that rapport with Jared Goff and for him to really get his routes down when you're talking real playoff implications. And we can't waste 7 targets a game that you're not going to be in the right position for. Can't do it. Like, you're already basically 4th or 5th man on the depth chart behind Amon-Ra and Josh Reynolds and Jahmyr Gibbs and LaPorta and David Montgomery when he's actually healthy.
Well, see,
like,
that, yeah.
You're behind basically everybody. Like, you're behind 2 of the running backs on this squad and most of your other wide receivers. And I'm not going to say that you absolutely need to go out and acquire a wide out at this point. Like, I don't think that's really a necessity, at least not in my mind. But J-Mo's really got to... He's got to start doing something with the targets and opportunities he's being given. Otherwise, he's going to find those slowly evaporating. Because when it comes like to a point where you are getting, if you're lucky, 2 or 3 targets a game and maybe making a catch, like a really an impactful catch every other game, if that, we kind of have a problem.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is one that's going to be resolved here. I don't know if it's at this point just a mental thing that it's just not going to come together here. But you are getting to a point this season. It's not like in last year where you really weren't competing for anything up until like the very end. Like, you had already lost so much in the start that it didn't matter what you did, even though you somehow found yourself in contention up to the last weekend anyway. This is a little different. The expectations are higher from the fan base, from the coaching staff, from everybody. You're expected to, at bare minimum, win your division and win a home playoff game. And you're not going to do those things and secure yourself a good playoff seating if you keep trying to force the ball to J-Mo. So they're just not going to do it. You got to start making something happen with the targets you're being given. Hope that the Lions can pull ahead enough on Vegas that they can start working him in garbage time a little bit, and maybe that helps. Is that going to be a possibility? Hard to say. Won't really know that until Monday night. Now, that said, I did want to get into real quick some potential targets, guys the Lions really need to be going after, because we see what the needs are.
I love talking about being buyers. Oh, I'm sorry. Go.
We've never had the chance to really do that. Like, in all the time that we've been doing the show together, we've always been like, oh, well, what can we sell off at the deadline? It's never
blow
like...
blow up the team.
Blow it all up. But now we actually have the opportunity to be on the... to have the shoe on the other foot for a change. And there's a couple things. Dave Perchetta put out an article from the Free, a mailbag thing, I think a couple days ago, about trade targets and things of that nature. He was asked about running backs and saying, I don't see running backs as a glaring need for the Lions. David Montgomery has been solid in the lead back role and should return from his rib injury after the bye. And I agree that between him and Jahmyr Gibbs, that's a good enough, potent enough combo to win games. As long as Montgomery stays healthy, sky's the limit for the running back core. And Jahmyr Gibbs is a fine weapon in his own right, both in the passing game and as the other running back, but you know that Montgomery is the lead back. He is a 3-down guy. That's just how this is going to work. He is your major guy. Now, as far as guys who could be available in other positions, particularly cornerback, we know we need some help in the secondary. This team always needs help in the secondary. Their secondary's gotten better, but they always still need help there. And Burkett brings up guys like Jalen Johnson for the Bears, who I'd take a flyer on him. I would absolutely acquire him. Panther cornerback Dante Jackson. Or calling around asking for someone like Arizona Cardinal safety Buda Baker doesn't hurt. I mean, it's going to be whoever it is, it's going to be someone who ends up backing up Cam Sutton and Jerry Jacobs anyway. But I'm still not opposed to it. What I found interesting is they proposes acquiring Brian Burns, outside linebacker for Carolina. I mean, obviously, the big target that I want is probably no longer on the market thanks to what happened on Monday night. Danielle Hunter, I wanted him badly because I want another good I want another good edge rusher opposite Hutchinson.
What happened to Hunter?
His team won on Monday, and they now find themselves one game below 500 and sort of kind of back in a playoff chase.
Like,
and while I did want... I was torn on Monday, okay? Because on one hand, I'm rooting for good playoff seeding, and San Fran was one of the teams that you really needed to get knocked off in order to help the Lions' chances there and get the home advantage for as long as you can ride it throughout the playoffs. But on the other hand, the Vikings are in your division, and do you really want to give anyone in your division extra ammunition? So they ended up knocking off San Fran, which now puts them at 3-4, which obviously does not put them anywhere near the top of the division by any means, but it does put them within two games now of Detroit. It puts them at second place in the NFC North. It's why I was so torn on that game. Like I felt like I'm probably rooting for things that are I'm probably putting the cart before the horse a bit and rooting for San Fran there, but that's what happened. But unless they lose badly this weekend, which I'm not going to lie to you, I'm rooting for it. I'm hoping that they get smoked. If that doesn't happen, we might just find, okay, you know what? We do have a shot to make the playoffs. We don't care that Danielle Hunter is going to walk after this season. We're going to go ahead and do this anyway. So do I really find myself rooting for the Packers? Is this really happening? Is this real life? Or is this just fantasy? We'll talk about that more coming in the picks. But, I mean, that's the guy I wanted. That was the big target that the splashy target that I wanted to see happen. I'd also be entirely fine with Montez Sweat out of Washington. Same thing, same role, basically. Washington's not going anywhere. That's Philly and Dallas's division, and I just don't see a third team making it out of the NFC East. I think the Commanders could absolutely be sellers of the deadline, and I would love nothing more than to see him. I kind of wanted Montez Sweat here when he was drafted, but... you know, just didn't work out that way. A couple other suggestions have been made elsewhere. NFL.com suggested the Lions should address the secondary with Julian Blackmon, safety from the Colts. He's in the final year of his rookie deal. He has experience playing at safety and at nickel, which could come in handy to try and fill the spots that Emmanuel Mosley and C.J. Gardner-Johnson were filling. He's been playing a decent role with the Colts. He's got 50 tackles and 2 interceptions on the season, which you like to see. And it's not like the Colts are going anywhere. They currently sit, well, third in the AFC South, but like I said, that's Jacksonville's division to lose. And I don't really see that team going anywhere. As much as I like Gardner Minshew, I'm not going to tell you that he's the guy who's leading your team to a playoff spot. I already told you, as far as playoffs go, there's going to be 2 teams out of the AFC East and 2 teams out of the AFC North. There might be a third team in the AFC North that's in contention before you get a second team out of the South. So they're clearly sellers, I believe. Other possibilities exist here, though. You could, the aforementioned Dante Jackson out of the Panthers, he's in his 5th year with that team. They're not going anywhere. They've lost all of their games so far. He has 15 total tackles in 5 games this season. He has 14 career interceptions. He would be a nice upgrade over what you currently have, and he is very, very much available. I'd love nothing more than to see that happen, and I don't feel like you'd have to exactly give up the farm to get him. There's a potential target that I do like quite a bit. Yahoo Sports suggests one, and I'm not sure that I like this or feel that it's the biggest need that needs to be addressed. Hollywood Brown, Marquise Brown, the longtime Baltimore Raven who is currently playing for Arizona. Obviously, the Cardinals are in full rebuild mode. He's a fast receiver. He's a speedy guy in the slot position, but I don't really think that it's something that Detroit absolutely needs. It's not, to me, a particularly big a position of need for me. I mean, you basically already have that you can treat Jameson Williams as a luxury item at this point, because that's basically what he's the role he's basically played himself into. Not that you wouldn't like to add another wideout, but I don't really want to give up any draft capital for one. I'm not that interested. I don't think you need it that badly. You have enough guys who are doing enough stuff that I don't feel like it's the biggest position of need. I feel like you need to upgrade your pass rush, and I feel like you need to upgrade your secondary before I worry about literal anything else. This one's a little pie in the sky for me, because I feel like you are going to have to give up the moon and the stars for this guy. Chase Young, edge rusher for the Commanders. Like, Pro Football Focus thinks he's a fit, and he's absolutely a fit. His fifth-year option was declined in April. He'll be a free agent after this season. Washington wants to re-sign him, though, and I do feel like between him and Montez Sweat, like, they have that 1-2 punch that I wish this team had. And I would be fine with acquiring either one of those guys. I do, however, feel that Chase Young is going to come at a higher cost than Montez Sweat is. And as such, I feel like Sweat is probably the more reasonable target here.
Montez Sweat, wasn't he like a 90s R&B singer?
That's... I can't even be mad at that. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. It is happy hour. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell.
Hi, Sean Cantwell.
And it's about that time of the week for our favorite thing that we do on this show, Sean and Adam's Unsolicited Advice.
Oh, here we go.
Where real people with real problems send real questions to real advice columnists. Unfortunately for them, we get our hands on them, we intercept them, and we, I think, give better advice than the people who are paid to do this for a living.
Yay.
So, let's go ahead and dive right into this thing, shall we?
Yes.
Dear, oh God, not them. Anybody but them. My older sister can't be on time to things we make plans for. That or she changes the plans, like bringing other people along, or changing locales after we've made a decision. She's always been like this. I've seen it from the other side, too. She changes plans when it's convenient to her and considers herself very flexible. She's also a wonderful person. Thing is, I have an extremely different temperament. I'm not type A, but I am focused and have OCD. I like to know plans, I like to be on time, and I like discussion to happen before things are set instead of changing things on a whim after plans have been decided on. I know this seems like a boundary issue, it is, but it's more than that too. Every time I bring it up to her, she has extremely valid reasons. We both struggle with depression, but it's just so frequent that I know it's more than just a coincidence of major crises. She's called me inflexible, which is hurtful to me since I try to be accommodating and understanding to a point. It affects my kids, too. They get excited to see her, and I try not to get their hopes up, but every single time I think things are finally okay for a visit, I live in a city and she lives 50 miles south, something happens and lateness or plan changing occurs. It's super stressful, but I can't end the relationship, and I can't easily uphold boundaries. How do I maintain a reasonably close relationship with someone who can't see past her own convenience and issues to meet the needs of a situation?
Any relationship is a two-person job. It's give or take, give and take. Sounds like you're doing all the giving and she's doing all the taking. It sounds like she's very much a free spirit or a very selfish spirit, however you look at it.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah. And she maybe has plans with you, finds something better, or just decides not to go, would rather watch Netflix, and just cancels on you without really thinking about your feelings or your kids' feelings. So, I mean, the ball is in her court in that aspect. There's nothing you can do that's going to change her. Just say, listen, I'm not making any plans with you. You're going to have to make the plans, and... if you break your own plans, then you know, plan on not seeing us for a while. Or what you do is make plans with her and then change them just to kind of show her how annoying it is. Hey, yeah, let's meet together at lunch at 4 and then call her at noon. Where are you? But you said 4. Well, I changed my plans. Where are you?
Just start doing it back to her like super passive aggressively?
Sure.
I mean, it's probably honestly not the worst idea. I mean, look, I am someone who is perpetually late for literal everything in my life. You know,
but if you're too late, you let people know, and you show up eventually.
Yeah, like we're not talking multiple hours that I don't show up. It's usually within a half hour, typically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's a different thing in my case. My problem is I overcommit to literal everything in my life, so I just.
I hear you.
I'm really bad about this. Yeah. You know. Yeah, you've seen me do it.
Well, I'm preaching. You're preaching to the choir because I do that every once in a while. It's like, oh, I had that plan and that plan. Oh, boy. This is really going to be interesting.
I really screwed this up, didn't I?
I'm going to have to bring in some sort of Jack Tripper-esque magic on this one.
It, Sometimes I feel like that's almost what I have to do.
When I got divorced, or I was separated from my first wife, I was in the dating pool for a while. And those married guys who think, oh, man, if I was single right now, if I was in the dating pool, trust me, that's a very shallow, murky pool. I was starting to date this woman, and she was of that type. I'll meet up with you at 7. 7 turned to 8, turned to 9, turned to 10, turned to 11. Oh, yeah, I'm still coming out. And she'd hang out for about a half hour and then leave. Eventually, she's like, okay, I'll be there at 7. She wasn't there at 7, 7:30. I left. She's like, where are you? I'm at your door. I was like, you weren't there at 7? I left. I'm having a good time.
That's our Adam.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like you necessarily need to do that. Like, if you're going to try and meet her halfway, like, it almost has to be like just plan things that aren't dependent on her being there. Like, we're going to go, like, we're having a party, or we're, you know, going out and hanging out at the park or something for an afternoon, or we're going to, I don't know, we're going to go shopping or something. Like, if you, yep. And maybe we'll stop for dinner at some point. If you meet up with us at some point, cool. If not, whatever. Just don't tell the kids. Like, with all the disappointment over the kids being the issue here.
Yeah.
I feel like don't tell the kids in advance. Let it be a surprise that, you know,
there you go.
You're going to see your aunt.
There you go.
Then it's yay! This we get to see our cool and chronically late for everything aunt,
yeah,
instead of,
yeah,
oh, we're disappointed because you set us up for, it feels like you set them up for disappointment.
Yep.
Just don't go in telling them that that's what's going on.
Right.
Let it be a surprise. I feel like that's the way to get around the letting down the children part of it.
Wow, that's a very mature way of looking at it, Sean. Of all the years doing this, I'm very proud.
It'll probably never happen again, get used to it.
No, we'll bring up the same exact story a week from now, and you'll be like, tell the kids your aunt died. Oh, sorry, Aunt Carol can't be here. Yeah, fiery car crash, very sad. Anyway, who wants dinner? We're getting pizza.
Like, the thing is, the key is, you don't set yourself up for a situation where her not showing up ends up letting everything down and ruining the mood. Like, you kind of work around it. Like, if you're here, cool. Awesome. It'll be a good time. If you're not here, cool. We'll still have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. If I could, like, meld our two ideas together, yeah, don't tell the kids the aunt died. And then if she shows up, wow, isn't everybody happy?
No. Bad Adam.
Hey, guys, look who's here. It's Aunt Carol. Oh, sweet baby Jesus. Oh, my God.
Okay, so maybe not quite. Let's not do that, but
get some holy water.
Well, it is Halloween, so I guess this is kind of on brand.
Yeah.
Let's now that we've actually given like good advice for the first time possibly ever, let's do another one of these and completely screw that streak up, shall we?
Okay.
Dear somebody who cares, am I overreacting that my entire family forgot my milestone birthday on my cousin's wedding day? I turned 30 this year. I'm a big fan of celebrating my birthday. At my 29th birthday, people started talking about the last year of my 20s. I told them I planned to do a big year of events, all leading up to a huge party on my 30th birthday and a trip the week after. I thought it was fortuitous that my birthday was on a Saturday this year, so I plan on going big. One of my cousins asked about my birthday plans at Christmas, and I told everybody about them. Well, New Year's Eve, my cousin got engaged. They decided they wanted to get married by the end of the year, and guess what day they picked? My birthday. Immediately, her immediate family started getting defensive about it when we had a family gathering and the relatively short planning time was mentioned until the wedding date. My aunt turned to me and said, I guess you're just going to have to cancel your party. I didn't say anything. My cousin and her family continued to make snide remarks. Meanwhile, I didn't cancel my party. The wedding was set to be earlier in the day and dinner started at 6, so I decided to go out with my friends and they agreed to pick me up at 8:30. I accepted it and had a nice spa day the morning before the wedding, so I was really upset when my mother was the only one who said happy birthday to me on the day of the wedding.
Aww.
I had never made a fuss about the day of the wedding, so it's not like they had anything to worry about with me causing a scene. So 8:30 rolls around. We've gone through all the scheduled activities. Dancing was underway. I didn't think anyone would notice me leaving, but my aunt did, and she confronted me, telling me it was rude to leave so early. I'd had enough of her comments at that point. I told her she'd spent months being rude to me about my birthday and that I was going to my party. She tried to say something, but I walked away. I had a great time with my friends and don't regret leaving the wedding. The next day, I left on a scheduled trip out of the country and didn't have access to my phone all day. I came back to a barrage of messages saying how nasty I was to my cousin. So it turns out she didn't even notice I was gone. The thing is, even my mom now thinks I went too far, so now I'm questioning whether I was wrong. What do you think?
We say this every time we do this. We wish we could get them on the phone and get some other information, because we're getting just her input on this. Now, she says she had no problem. She didn't make a big fuss about the fact that it was on her birthday. But we don't know that for true. We don't know that's true. If we're taking it at face value, she was there. She had some moment to herself. She participated in the wedding. Sounds like she went through the whole, you know, first dance, cake cutting, cake shoved into people's faces, ripping off part of her underwear and throwing it to the crowd, and the bouquet and everything else.
All the traditional wedding things.
She did all
yes.
that, and then she was just gonna. I'm out. Was she in the wedding? I don't remember.
No.
She wasn't in the wedding, so I'm out. And the aunts are like, I can't believe you're going to leave this wedding. Say, listen, you had I had this plan 30 years ago. I'm going. I'm leaving.
That said, I do kind of want to sidebar here real quick. The people who are that obsessed over their birthday that, like, she planned a whole birthday year.
Yeah.
A birthday year, Adam. That seems a bit excessive, even if it is for a 30th birthday.
Well, I'll just let you know, we're in my 50th birthday year, and you've been really slacking. I'm kidding.
I mean, look, I realize that we have a comrade on this show who will probably be calling in later for the picks, who celebrates his birthday for like an entire month at a time.
He really, truly does. And I've been, my liver and I have been a part of it for many years.
Like, I barely like celebrate it like on the day. If I get anything on the day, that's usually a lot. So like it does seem a bit excessive. That said, you had this planned before she decided, your cousin decided that this is the weekend I absolutely have to get married. Has to be right then. Like,
yeah.
We can't do it any other time. Even though she asked you about her plans, and it sounds like they were being kind of jerks about the whole thing.
Yeah, the snide comments, well, I guess you're just going to have to change your party. Well,
guess you're just going to have to change when you're getting married.
Again, to take it at face value, this person could have really been a jerk in saying, well, you know, I'm celebrating my birthday. I know in 10 years I'm going to be celebrating another birthday, hopefully. This couple, 50-50.
Wow. Well, if you want to make sure your family never speaks to you again, that's a good way to do it.
Sounds like they're already upset. I mean, they blew up her phone. I can't believe you left at 8:30 p.m. You know what happens at 8:30 p.m.? Every old person in the wedding shuffles out of there, and no static whatsoever.
Absolutely not. I'm pretty sure we had people who stood up in the wedding that were gone before, like, the musical component was. I think some of them were even done before Wes's stand-up bit.
Oh, that's too bad. They missed something.
Yeah, like, I'm just... Yeah. I'm not going to be upset at some random person leaving the wedding, you know, once all of the ceremonial stuff is done with. Like,
so photographs are taken care of.
We've cut cake, we've done dances, we've done whatever things need to be done.
After that, peace out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
To just where the DJ's just spinning music for the drunks that are remaining to dance to, you're free to go. Your obligation has been met. Yeah. You can leave now.
Especially if she brought a gift. Wouldn't that just be a complete D-bag kind of move? If she's like, I brought a gift, I did everything, and then I took off. I didn't stay until 1 in the morning to help sweep up. That all of a sudden I'm ousted from the family?
Yeah, you have met all your obligations at this point. I don't feel she did anything wrong here.
No. I would say don't even acknowledge any of this flack at all. Especially if the bride didn't even notice you were gone and the bride has no... If you and the bride are cool, then that is all you need to worry about.
Yeah, that's literally, in this situation, the only person that matters is her, and since she's actually being cool about it, the rest of the family, I think, needs to back off.
Yeah, if the mom and the aunt still want to dwell on it at Christmas and Thanksgiving and everything else, let them. I mean, you know...
I guess that just means that you've got one less Thanksgiving obligation to have to show up to.
Right.
Right. So what I'm saying is cut the whole family off.
Then there it is.
You were waiting for it.
Yes, I knew we were going to come back to it.
You've been waiting this entire segment for me to tell you to cut somebody out of your life.
The last segment, you were very heartfelt and you were very forthright with everything. I was like, the other shoe's going to drop here in just a minute. And there it is.
He's going to tell him to cut off all human contact eventually. It's going to be okay. It's going to happen. We're going to be fine. And, Del, now we have. See, eventually you hang around this segment long enough, we balance out the heartfelt stuff by just being just the worst possible people in the world.
That's
Don't
right.
worry.
Yes.
Hope this helps. It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio. It's that time of the week again. It's Friday. It is, the last segment of the show on AM for today. So it's time for the picks.
Woo.
Get our football stuff in a little bit early while we have the full attention of the thumb. So obviously Ab and I are here in studio. We're also joined live via satellite by our good pal Drew Duffney, who is looking to get his first win of the year. But here to try and prevent that from happening... we have a couple guests from our good friends across the hall at New Day's Massage.
The New Day Duo.
Shannon and Monica. They're teaming up for this thing. Like they're gonna make their picks together because Monica begged us to not make her do picks by herself. So let's dive right into this.
It's usually like somebody like that runs the table. So
right. So yeah. Now she's gonna get all of them right.
Yeah.
And we're gonna look like even bigger idiots than we normally do.
Sure.
So let's start with Sunday afternoon, the battle of the entirely god awful New York teams, the Jets, the G-Men. Both these teams coming in, not good. Zach Wilson and company are 3-3. The Giants, who it looks like Tyrod Taylor is going to be starting for them for the duration, they're coming in at 2-5. The Jets are favored by 3 because they at least have a competent defense. We'll start with Adam Harahuck on the pick.
You know what? I just want to watch the world burn. It's two New York teams. The only people that even remotely care about this are New York fans, and even they're like... Let's go see what's going. The Rangers are doing.
You're not wrong.
I'm gonna go ahead and make this an upset. Give me the G-Men. Give me Giants.
Drew.
I gotta take the Jets.
Shannon and Monica.
Going with the Jets. I mean, yeah. I don't know what else.
That's what I was gonna say.
Just sounds good.
They have an elite, a pretty good defense this season. A defense that has made some really good teams look. Rather ugly. I mean, look what they did to Philly. Up against this squad, it's a no-brainer for me. J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Up next, Jacksonville headed to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. Jags, basically the only team that matters in the AFC South. Pittsburgh, they're in a little bit of a dogfight in the AFC North. That there's three teams that legitimately probably have a chance to make some noise over there. Really, even since he's not entirely out of it, they currently, Pittsburgh sits at 4-2 in their division, mostly on the back of that defense, because again, Matt Canada, I don't know how that man still has a job as OC over there. And then you have the Jags. They're currently sitting at 5-2. They're favored by 2 in this matchup, and are really good as long as they're not playing in Jacksonville, apparently. We start, I mean, Those London games, like, they always seem to do really well in, for whatever reason.
It's become, like, their second home.
Basically, they've been on a tear. Like, they have won their last 4 games in a row. They're looking to make 5 here. We'll start with Drew Duffney.
You know, I take the Steelers almost every single week, but I don't think I'm going to this week. I'm going to take Jacksonville.
Shannon and Monica.
I have to go directly right against Drew, and I'm going for Pittsburgh.
Adam.
I've got to go with the Jags. I mean, 5-2, they're really finding their inner voice, and this is going to be a good game for them.
I think it's going to be a good game all the way around. Probably one of the more watchable games this week. And Jacksonville just seems to have it together so much more than Pittsburgh at this point. They offensively just don't really seem to have it. Jacksonville has won 5 of their last 6 on the road against the Steelers. And I think we make that 6 in a row.
Woo.
Give me the Jags.
Yes. Woo!
Man.
Up next, Matt Stafford and the stupid Rams head to Jerry World to take on the Cowboys. And I don't know why I still hold this like animosity towards this man, but I just do. But Dallas,
it's not because of him, it's because of Kelly.
I mean, Kelly doesn't help. Dallas is favored by 6 in this one. We're going to start with Shannon and Monica, because why not?
Why not? I think I'm going to say Dallas.
Adam.
The Dallas Rams, how you doing? the stupid Rams have failed me, but you know what? Apparently, I just want to be hurt again. Give me Kelly Stafford's husband and the stupid Rams.
Drew.
I hate to go Brokeback Mountain on you, but I got to go with the Cowboys.
And Dallas has got a 10-game home winning streak going right now. There's a reason they're favored by as much as they are. Like, they have the best, probably one of the better pass defenses in the league. Overall, like, a solid defense all the way around. A little more weak on the rushing side of things. But last week, Cooper Kupp had probably one of the best games of his career against Pittsburgh. He's back in MVP triple crown form. You know what? I can't believe I'm calling for an upset here. But you know what? Give me Cooper Kupp and the stupid Rams.
No.
So now we come
That's
to
not, can't exactly go to www.stupidrams.com.
Well, maybe.
Someone buy that and register it.
I was gonna say,
get on that. So up next we have the battle for the NFC North runners up, the Vikings, the Packers, and the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. Oh-ho. Green Bay, I believe, is favored in this. No, Minnesota's favored in this one by 1.5 for the nothing that's worth. We'll start with Adam on the pick.
Yeah, give me Green Bay. Give me the pack.
Drew.
Hey, I suspect there's going to be some pillaging and plundering going on in Lambeau Field. I think the Vikings are going to just crush them.
Shannon and Monica.
I got to agree with Drew. Vikings.
Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe this is just me rooting for radio, but you know what? I want to be able to sit here and talk on Tuesday about how the Lions acquired Danielle Hunter at the deadline, which means the Vikings are going to lose on Sunday and lose by a lot. Gimme Green Bay by 10.
Woo! Jeez.
This is the game I'm gonna beat both of you on.
I know it's not likely to happen because it's at Lambeau, but you know what? Root for radio. Don't care. Up next, the Saints headed to Indy to take on the Colts. The Saints come into both teams coming at 3-4. New Orleans is favored by a point. Saints have a rather stingy defense, and the Colts are sending out Gardner Minshew, Uncle Rico to start. Ooh. We start with Drew Duffney on the pick.
Oh.
That's not a good sign. Yeah, this game sucks.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and take the Colts just out of safety.
Shannon and Monica.
Why not go with New Orleans?
Adam.
Well, since Sean and Rachel are going to be celebrating their honeymoon here in New Orleans,
yes,
in tribute to their nuptials and their forbidden love anymore.
Whoa.
Yeah, they actually signed a contract and
yes,
everything.
Yes.
The forbidden drinking in the street. I'm going to go with New Orleans.
I was waiting for them to say all those sweet things and then immediately take the Colts.
Yeah.
Give me the Saints as well.
You should have went to honeymoon in Indianapolis.
Yeah, makes sense.
Home of the biggest jar of mayonnaise you've ever seen.
That sounds on brand for that state. Give me the Saints. Moving on, Cleveland, Seattle. In Seattle, Seattle. The Seahawks are favored by 3.5. Both teams come in at 4-2. Browns looking for their second straight road win. Shannon and Monica on the pick.
Oh, Cleveland.
Adam.
Yeah, give me the Browns.
Drew.
You know, until Adam just said it, I was going to take the Browns, but now I'm going to be forced to take Seattle so I can win this week.
Good. That means I can take Cleveland then, because that their defense, I believe, is honestly going to shut Seattle right on down. I feel fairly confident in this. I mean, less so about whoever's under center for Cleveland, but I don't think that's going to matter. Give me Cleveland. No one is playing better in this league right now than Myles Garrett is, and I feel like that carries over here. Up next, the Ravens coming off whatever that was last week against the Lions that we don't speak of. No, we're not doing that game. Hell with that.
Yeah, we're not doing that game. No.
Cincinnati head to San Fran to take on the 49ers. Bengals coming at 3-3. Niners come in at 5-2, having just lost to Cleveland and who was that team? The Vikings in pretty short succession here, but San Fran is favored by 4. We start with Adam Herrod.
Yeah, give me the Niners. The over-under for points is 43.5. I'm going to take the over.
Drew.
I am also going to go with San Francisco.
Shannon and Monica.
San Fran it is.
Woo, there we go, bro. Yeah, you're it.
San Fran's favored by 4. Give me San Fran and the points. Up next, Sunday Night Football, the Dub Bears. The Chargers. The only reason we're even talking about this game is because it's Sunday Night Football. Drew.
The Bears. I'll go with the Bears.
Shannon and Monica.
Chargers.
Adam.
Definitely go with the Chargers. Screw the Bears.
There's no reason that that team should be sitting 2-4 right now. And as such, there's no reason that Brandon Staley shouldn't be fired out of a cannon like midseason here. This team is too good to be as bad as they are. Give me the Chargers by 10, because the Chicago Bears are just that terrible.
Oh, wow.
And then the game we really care about, of course, Monday Night Football. The Las Vegas Raiders, the Detroit Lions at Ford Field. We start with Adam Herahuck on the pick.
Well, the fact that the Las Vegas Raiders are coming into town on Halloween Eve, Devil's Night, they're going to be dressed up in their garb, and nobody's going to notice. It's going to take that power away from them. Lions looking back to get onto a winning start. Give me the Lions, 28, Raiders, 12.
Drew.
Lions, 24-17.
Shannon and Monica.
Lions, I don't even know.
Just throw out some numbers, you'll probably be right.
Yeah, I was going to go like 28-7.
Well, that's good. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Watch, she just like nails
good.
It perfectly.
That'd be fantastic.
Hope every team goes out there and has a good time.
Play nice.
Yeah. With no penalties. Can we put it?
Just because I want to hedge my bets just in case the Vikings do win on Sunday and the Danielle Hunter thing's off the table. You know what? No, I'm going here. Lions 30-14, and Max Crosby ends up here before 4 o'clock on Tuesday.
Woo!
That's the picks. It is actually, no, it's not the picks because we still have to do college.
Yeah.
Master the music, please. All right, so we only have 2 ranked matchups this week for college. First one being Oregon and Utah. Utah having a nice little season for sure. They come in, you said, 6-1.
Yep.
Oregon sits at
6-1.
Also 6-1.
Yep.
We'll go ahead and, you know, we'll let Adam get the first crack at this one.
Oh, go Ducks. Quack, quack. Give me Oregon.
Drew.
He said Oregon. give me the Mormon. Give me the Mormon.
The Mormons? why would you do that? Because you know they're going to be tired. They're not allowed to drink caffeine.
Is that true? You're a Mormon. You know.
That is very true, yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Shannon and Monica.
Oregon. Oregon.
Well, you can say Oregon.
Doesn't really matter to us.
Caribbean.
Those old people.
Since Jim's entered the room, I guess you can participate too.
All right. I'm feeling ducky as well. Give me Oregon.
I guess I'm the only one, other person going with Utah here. Up next, Duke. They've had quite the season. I want their head coach in East Lansing. Very, very much so. They're headed in to take on Louisville. We'll start with Drew Duffy on the pick, because why not? Apparently my phone has just decided that we're not doing this.
I'm always shooting for Kentucky anytime they're in anything. I don't even care. So, yeah, give me Louisville.
During the Civil War, I'm like, yeah, go Kentucky.
Shannon and Monica.
Louisville.
Jimothy.
Yeah, I'm going to go Louisville as well.
Adam.
Duke and Louisville. I mean, this looks like something from should be an NCAA bracket.
Right. Yeah. This
for
looks
basketball.
Like this looks like this should be the final four of the national championship game in basketball.
You know what? Louisville's favored. I'm going to go with Duke.
I too am going with Duke, and then hopefully stealing their coach and taking him to East Lansing next season. Up next, we have the
windowless van.
Let's get your Who the Hell Cares game out of the way first.
Oh, okay, yeah. My window. Who the Hell Cares game is.
Old Dominion and James Madison. And yes. Who was favored in that one?
James Madison University is favored by 20.5 over Old Dominion. James Madison at 7-0 on the season. Old Dominion at 4-3.
All right, James Madison and give me the points. Drew.
Would you say Billy Madison or what onion?
Yes, Billy Madison.
Dolly Madison, a snack cake factory against...
Yeah, give me the Bloomin' Onion.
Old Dominion. Dominion. He wants Old Dominion.
Okay. Shannon and Monica.
I'm so confused right now.
We all are. That's the fun of this bit.
Because now I want to call it Dolly Madison. Is it Billy Madison?
Right? Yeah. Well, we know who you're taking then. Drew.
You already talked to Drew.
Or Jim.
Jim, yeah.
I'm looking at Drew and saying Jim and Drew.
Drew, so bet again.
No, I'm going to go with Jim.
Yeah, Madison, if I get the pick.
Not going to cover.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Bold. What's that, Drew?
I was going to say, if I get to pick twice, I'm picking the other team. It's a guaranteed win.
Adam.
James Madison.
All right, and then finally, State, Minnesota. Is anyone actually taking State to win this one?
No.
Didn't think so.
I will.
Drew is, isn't he?
I was going to say, Jim, you didn't chime in.
Go first.
I'm not taking State.
No, okay.
I never take State.
Real quick, are you taking State? Drew.
Yeah.
You can have fun on that island by yourself. There's the picks. It's happy hour. More stuff to do. We'll close out the show next. Stick around. Hour at South State Radio to get set to get out of Dodge here on a Friday afternoon. Woo! And before we do, since it is Halloween on Tuesday, and no matter where you're listening to us, you're not going to hear from us again until after the holiday.
That's right.
We got to do a little bit of this list is trash, I feel.
Oh, really? I don't have a list.
Halloween candy power rankings.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
Actually, we're not really power ranking it. I've just got top 25 answers on the board.
Oh.
And
if it was power rankings, I know what the bottom one's going to be.
Necco wafers?
It's going to be the candy that I'm going to be handing out.
Dumb suckers.
Because it is the Lapeer Treat Walk. I am going to be handing out candy from the South State Radio Studio.
At the Lyric Mall tomorrow from noon to two.
Bring the kids out. It's going to be a good time. They got the whole hallway decorated. It's going to be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's do this because we've only got 6 minutes left in this show. Sure. Lightning round. Yeah. Adam.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, of course, number one.
Number one, and you know what? I'll give you the other one, number nine. Reese's Pieces coming at number 9 on the list. Shannon and Monica. Shannon first.
Twizzlers.
Twizzlers come in at number, I can't even read my own writing, 16.
16.
Oh, man.
I've done these lists. You got to think chocolate the entire way.
You really do.
Oh, we got an idea for Smarties.
Smarties are not in the top 25 because they're awful.
They're sidewalk chalk that's flavored.
Snickers.
Monica.
Oh, go ahead.
How dare you?
Go, Monica,
Snickers.
Go.
Snickers. Snickers.
Okay. Snickers.
Snickers, number three. I'm giving Shannon that point because she said it first. Adam.
I'm going to say, Kit Kat, of course.
Number four.
Yes.
Shannon.
M&M's.
Number 14.
Wow, that's way low for M&M's.
I was kind of surprised, too. Monica.
Three Musketeers.
Three Musketeers did not make the list.
What?
I thought that was kind of ridiculous, too. Adam.
Oh, God bless America. Now I'm really under the gun here. Dum Dums.
No. Dum Dums will be in the top 25. What is wrong with you, Shannon?
Candy Corn.
Ew.
I said top 25, ew. Not worst thing of all time.
Not flavored wax.
Monica.
Milky Way.
Milky Way comes in barely on this list, number 23.
Dang.
I know. I feel like that's quite low.
That's my
Adam.
Oh, man, I'm under the gun here. I can't remember. I'm actually thinking, Hershey Kisses.
Hershey Kiss is not on the list. Hershey Bar comes in at number 10, so you don't really
all right.
Get that to you.
All right.
Close enough.
It's Hershey.
Shannon.
Reese's Pieces.
Adam already said Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
He already said those two.
Yeah.
Damn.
I know.
And Reese's absolutely should be number one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Monica.
Sour Patch Kids.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Just outside the top 25.
Warheads.
No.
Who came up with this list? They're absolute trash.
What's left?
Right.
What's left? Yeah.
What kind start of, thinking chocolate bars. Come
what,
on, guys.
What kind of rich neighborhood were these people trigger treating
Special
at?
K. Oh no, that's
Special K. You know, I always love as a kid when I go trick or treating and someone give me a box of Special K.
There's a special
okay.
Something.
Good. How about Ensure?
Shut up.
Slim Fast.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Trick or treating every year, we had a guy that was a dentist. So toothbrushes.
Toothbrushes are candy.
Pennies.
Hey, he gave out toothbrushes, and I'm still hurting from it, and this was a good avenue for me to voice my frustration.
Think chocolate bars, people. Come on.
Well, that's why it was
I can't remember what it was all
special
called.
Special
Dark? Oh, Almond Joy.
Almond Joy is not on the list.
Twix?
Twix, number two.
Oh, there we go. All right, Good Bar. Mr. Good Bar.
Mr. Good Bar somehow comes in at number seven. I don't understand why, but it does.
That's what I was thinking.
Baby Ruth.
Baby Ruth, number 15.
There we go.
At this point, I don't care who gives me answers. Like
I know.
Every Friday.
Payday.
Not here. It's not number 19 though. 15. No, yeah, 19. I was right the first
15,
time.
15, 19. Actually, it's number
on
one.
The list. Okay, come on. Let's keep her moving. We're off the air in 3 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Zagnut Bar.
No.
Can I run over and get my candy?
Yeah. No.
All right, how about Special Dark? Hershey Special Dark.
No. There's no more Hershey's.
You gotta
kidding
me.
And there's nothing special. I'm trying to think of cereals again.
Did we say M&M's? Cereals
again? Captain Crunch. Say M&M's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Captain Crunch is not on the list.
Oh, Nerds.
Nerds actually do come in at number 21 somehow.
Yeah. Nerds are awesome.
I love all Nerds, yeah.
You are going to be kicking yourselves when I tell you the rest of these.
I know. I'm really. Yes. Is there a Crunch on there? Something with Crunch?
Nestle Crunch. What? Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's Nestle.
Right.
Okay.
Crunch bars.
Jeez.
Oh my God.
There's so many obvious ones. You're gonna kick yourselves when I give you
Milky Way already.
Yes.
It's been so long.
And somebody said Three Musketeers.
Three Musketeers. Yep. Snickers.
Three Musketeers are garbage.
Adam, how does it feel to be so wrong?
Three Musketeers tastes like somebody already ate it.
Are you kidding me? Shut up.
All right, we got 10 seconds, guys. Come on, throw something at me.
Don't know.
Somebody.
Kibbles and Bits.
No.
Give us a list.
All right, so number five. So what? You got the first top four: Reese's, Twix, Snickers, and Kit Kat.
Yeah, yeah.
Butterfinger at 5.
Oh, yeah.
100 Grand at 6.
Oh, what?
Starburst at 11. Heath at 12. Flavored Tootsie Rolls at 13, Junior Mints at 17, Haribo at 18, Skittles at 20, Laffy Taffy at 22, Milk Duds somehow at 24, even though no one likes Milk Duds.
I do.
And Whoppers at 25.
Ew, Whoppers.
Whoppers are disgusting.
Whoppers are awesome, and you don't know what's good, Monica.
Whoppers are awesome. Milk Duds suck.
Milk Duds are terrible.
Milk Duds will pull the fillings out of your teeth.
They'll pull fillings. They'll pull your actual teeth out.
It's fine.
They are so good.
There's a reason you don't find those things outside of movie theaters literally ever. For some reason, we've accepted them as part of the theater experience and nowhere else.
Let them melt your mouth first.
I can't afford to buy candy at a movie theater.
Much less the popcorn and the ticket.
You know, I also haven't been to the movie theater in like 15 years, so what do you want?
$7 for Reese's Pieces.
Super expensive.
Yo, back in my day, it was a quarter for a pack of Whoppers at the theater.
And you got three movies, and you got to take home one of the ushers. Male or female, your choice.
So, on that note...
God bless.
At this point, I feel like, if anything, we owe our listeners an apology for this last
session. Yeah, yeah.
And probably WMIC most of all. Stick around. Sessions is up next, and then it's all Blank Generation with Uncle Salem all weekend long at your local alternative Solid State Radio. All being well. Talk to you Wednesday. See ya.